everyone. You love the music, now be a part of the movement. Press Play is building a home for artists and fans just like you, and now you can help shape it. All you gotta do is go to pressplay.me and grab you some merch and wear it really loud and really proud, and of course, buy it for everybody you know. And know that you're helping musicians and music stay real, independent, and alive. And here's something really special. You can send a personal message to the artist of your choice. If we've done an interview with them, you have an opportunity to write them a note. You can write them a small message, or you can write them a whole letter, and it will go directly to them. Just click the link on any of our interviews, write from the heart, and let your voice be heard. So tune in, rock with us, and press play. Get the gear, send the love. Music lives when the fans do.
Hey everybody, welcome to Press Play Radio Conversations. I am Adon. With me is Tina, our CEO, and usually keeps me in line. She tries.
Usually.
Sometimes. Usually. And with us, we've got Dan Ashley. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you? Thank you so much for having me on. I'm delighted to be with you.
Great, man. Now, you know, a fun fact about you before we get into your songwriting, you do the news in San Francisco, right? You're a news anchor?
I do. I've been the evening anchor at ABC7 Eyewitness News in San Francisco for coming up on 31 years, believe it or not.
31?
I know I look much younger than that.
Did you get like a gift basket or something at 30? Did they give you like a...
You know, actually, we work for the Walt Disney Company. It's funny you should say it. For every 10-year milestone, you get... It sounds funny, but a really beautiful bronze statue of different Disney characters.
Wow.
Like Jiminy Cricket. And I mean, they weigh like 10 pounds. It's actually quite nice. So I just got one for my 30th.
Nice, man. Do they get that you go like into the park, like a special day, like at Disneyland Park sometimes?
No, but we do get passes every year. We get passes to go, which is nice, which is a nice
little thing. Pay for mine.
Yeah. which does help.
I'm at Disney World. I'm a Florida guy, so I'm at Disney World a lot.
Well, that's where I, you know, growing up on the East Coast in the Carolinas and North Carolina, that's where we went was Disney World. You know, now out here in California, we tend to go to Disneyland.
So which do you like better, Disney World or Disneyland?
Gosh, Tina, that's such a great question. This sounds like a political answer. It's not meant to be. There are things I like about both. I love the size of Disney World and the Animal Kingdom and the different parks. There's a certain charm to Disneyland. It's smaller. And the weather's always spectacular. You know, it's never, hot and humid. So I like both elements. I love the intimacy of it's the original one in California. So there's something kind of cool about that too.
Yeah.
Did you see, I want to get the creator's name here, real quick. Let me see how fast I can do Google here. Can I see her name? What's her name? Oh, it did come up right away.
Tiffany?
No. So Disney Plus released Disneyland Handcrafted.
Oh, okay.
And have you seen it yet, Dan?
I have not seen it.
It is absolutely incredible, and I wish I could get the woman's name that put this together because she did a phenomenal job. She basically took archival footage of them building Disneyland. So Walt had everything recorded. So
wow, I do need to see
the ground digging to putting up the things and then the aggressive timeline to get it done, which is mind blowing that they did it within a year. They built all of that.
Really?
In a year.
No kidding. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
You gotta watch the handcraft. It is so well done, and it'll blow your mind on how fast and the stress that Walt was under, because which leads to topics in your songs, which I'll get into, but imagine constantly hearing, you'll never get this done. You'll never get this done. That's all Walt kept hearing around him. In your career, did you hear that a lot? Like, why bother? Why are you doing this?
You know, that's a great question. I suppose I didn't, in fairness, except I heard that in my own head sometimes.
Your own worst enemy.
Yeah. You know, I remember, when And one of my songs is actually on this topic called Outside Looking In, because we all have those experiences in life, no matter what we do, who we are, where you feel like you don't belong or you're on the outside looking in. And I remember when I was a young man, about 22, trying to get my first job on the air in television. I was working in a newsroom in North Carolina off the air. And I was in Savannah, Georgia, at a TV station with my little resume tape, you know, of my work, sitting in the lobby, hoping that the news director would see me. I had no appointment. And I looked up and there are pictures of the anchor teams on the wall of the TV station in the lobby. And I had this sudden rush of insecurity and this feeling like, what are you doing? You're making a fool of yourself. You're not someone whose face they're going to put up on the wall of a TV station. You should just slip out. I mean, this is silly. So I felt just so exposed and foolish. And, you know, the lesson in life is don't quit, because 40 years on, my face is on the wall of a TV station. You know, I mean, those things happen. But at the time, I thought, Dan, come on, you know. But we all have those feelings, you know, in life.
Yeah. Don't give up, kids.
Don't let anyone tell you you can't do something.
No, right. Like, you know, I come back to this. There was a point here, because I've been doing interviews and music interviews since like 2008, took a little hiatus, came back. And then I was doing it. And then it started to be like not as fun anymore. And I was ready to give up. And then I meet Dean, who's part of our team. He was massive on TikTok and he's a Sirius XM radio host. He has three shows. And he reached out to me. Like, I was ready to give up and quit. And he reached out to me saying, how do you do these interviews? And I said, well, why don't you do one with me? Boom. And it's led us to here with Press Play and Tina. I mean, it's weird how a moment of where you think you're going to give up and then you hear something or an opportunity presents itself. Like, the universe goes, okay, I see you're at your wit's end. Let me give you this little crumb here and see what you do with it.
And what just a like great Eve, story. Yeah, what a great story, because you just never know. And had you given up, right, none of this would have happened, and you would have had a different path in life, and this is what you wanted to do. And it's just such a good, valuable lesson. I feel so often, I've been so fortunate in that I've always been, I've been fortunate to be a pretty happy person, and but also a pretty optimistic person. My wife jokes that Dan's always glass half full. Even when the glass is empty, it's half full. Which is a good line. And there's some truth to that, but I think so many people hold themselves back. They, you know, right, Tina? I mean, so many people hold themselves back, and it breaks my heart, to be honest, because I feel like everyone, life should be an adventure to the extent you can make it. And it should be what you want it to be. And it just really hurts me when I see people who I know could make something else. And we're not even talking about big things necessarily, anything. And they hold themselves back because of insecurities or self-doubt.
Or the choices that they're making.
Just
to be unhappy.
Yeah, right. No, it's true. And we all take our knocks and there's always challenges and all of that. But some of that is a choice on how you're going to respond to certain situations and how you're going to deal with them and how you're going to allow it to define you.
Oh, kindred spirits right here. I love this. Yes.
Yes. Oh, great. Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you.
I've had a really good, happy, fun life. And
good
it's
for
hard
you. Isn't that nice?
People that don't, you know, and especially when you're someone like us, we're always seeing, you know, that change is a beautiful thing and optimism is just something that we can't help. And, you know, that kind of thing. It's interesting, especially if it's your children, for example, and you see that they don't have that outlook, or even, you know, if they're going over a bump and you're just like, oh, let me raise you up.
And especially children, you don't always, we have five boys between us. And if you don't have that sense that the other side's going to be fine. And certainly when you're young, everything is magnified. It seems like a bigger deal. You know, I think one of the keys too to happiness, Tina and Don, you may agree with this, is I can truthfully say I've never had an envious thought in my head once. I mean, Tina, if you won the lottery today, next to your family and close friends you and I just met, the next person to be happy for you would be me. You know, I just want to see people, literally, I just want to see everyone, I want people to do well. I want it to work out for them. And if you're happy with in your journey, I think that enables you to be happy for other people.
Yeah. You know, the same thing can be said for bridge burning. You know, it's the same principle is rooting for someone's success. It's also, you know, it's people that burn bridges, just leaving on a sour note. It's like, you never know that bridge, even though at that moment it didn't seem like it was a good relationship at the time, but you never know what that could mean later. And it's the same principle of always being either supportive or respectful of people and in the business. And you just never know when it could come back around and people remember that you weren't hostile or vindictive. And, I think it's
so true. And there's no reason to be that way. There's really no reason to be that way. There's there's a piece of pie for everybody, you know? Right. And just because you have a piece of pie doesn't mean I don't have a piece of pie. I mean, you know, and so many people, you know, and certainly in my industry, but in all walks of life, you encounter that. And, also, it makes me sad because I hate to see people hold themselves back, and I hate to see people limit their thinking and limit their outlook.
Right.
Yeah. One big lesson that my dad taught me is it doesn't matter who you come across in life; they all put their pants on the same way every morning. So don't ever think that someone is better than you or worse off than you.
That's so true. And you know, and Tina, and my job as a reporter all of these years, you can imagine I have met so many people, very, very powerful people, very, very humble people, you know, from all walks of life. And everybody's the same. They just do different things. And I always treat, you know, I don't treat the CEO any differently or better than the busboy. You know, I mean, everybody's, if you're doing an honest job, it's honest, decent work. But everybody typically wants the same thing. I don't mean unless you're, you know, criminal or something. I mean, some, you know, there's some people that are not great people, but for the most part, everybody wants the same thing out of life.
Agreed. But you know, one other thing that makes people super, super happy.
What's that?
Music.
Oh, it's true. Makes me happy. Perfect. It does make people happy.
Perfect segue. Yeah. I want to play one of your songs here. Yeah. Outside looking in. Let's play a little bit of this. Cause, what I love is I'll point it out. I love that out of the bridge there. That outro out of the bridge is beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it climbs thank you. Yes. I do like that part. Yeah, I agree. Thank you very much.
Well, that's the whole thing with us in music and how it affects us, or the hook or goosebump moments. It's that, like, you don't expect it. You know, you just expect it to stay, and then you take it like that, and it just makes it enjoyable to want to go back and listen to that part again.
Yeah, thank you. You know what? I have a wonderful, and that song, a wonderful songwriting partner, Bill Bentley, who does beautiful work, great musician, great producer, and we're proud of the way that turned out. And you know, it's when I wrote the song, it's a boy meets girl story, and I needed a metaphor to talk about outside looking in, and that's what that's about. You know, things work out.
Right. Well, it's gonna bring me to an iconic song that ties into your other song we're gonna talk about tonight or today. It's not tonight. It's today. I'm so used to doing these at night. I forgot. So let's play a little bit of this. You'll know it. It's The Bridge, because I love this bridge. So let's do this. Tina's in Indiana right now, so that's only fitting that we play a little.
Well, I have a brother who lives in Indiana, Tina.
Yeah?
Yeah. He lives in Madison. Southern Indiana. He works for a small college, Hanover College, as the vice president of admissions and communications, I think. So.
Very nice. I'm up in Fort Wayne right now.
Wonderful. It's been cold for you guys.
Yes, it has. I'm a California girl. I came here from LA in 2020.
And really cool. That took some adjusting, I imagine.
A little bit.
That bridge is fantastic. And, you know, Kenny Arnott, the drummer, he tells a great story.
He's a friend of ours.
Yeah, oh, he is. He seems like a nice man. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we love Kenny. He tells
a great story about working with Mellencamp and the pressure to come up with something in that moment.
I actually got him to play that for me live. I was in his studio and I was like, Kenny,
please.
Will you please just play that part? And he did. It was awesome.
Oh, that's sweet. That's fun.
Well, the song that the reason I played that really is a reference to a song you have, which we'll play a clip of, Small Town Nights. Now, in Small Town Nights, it's that whole, there's a line in the song where you go, my roots run deep in this dusty land. And then you reference Jack and Diane and within that same 1 minute of lyric. So it brings me to that. I mean, we talked a little bit earlier that you were from North Carolina, living now in San Francisco for 30 plus years, right? What's that like? Adjustment-wise, culture-wise, what have you seen change? Was San Francisco ever a small-town vibe? Is always a big, bustling city?
Is there any comparison? You know, that's interesting. It has that, it had that pioneer story with people coming out to start a new life and to look for gold. And I think in those early days when it was a dusty town before it began to become a hustling, bustling metropolis, I think it had very much of that free spirit Old West vibe, which it still maintains today. You look at, Haight-Ashbury and the counterculture movement and freedom of speech at UC Berkeley. All of that is part of the DNA of this area, which is why we are the way we are here and the way the culture is the way it is. But for me, that song, Small Town Nights, is a nod. There's a couple of nods in there to John Mellencamp, who I've always loved as a singer-songwriter. But it was the idea that it's not so much, it's a bit nostalgic, but it's also aspirational. Because I think in this, what that song's really speaking to is in a such a busy, complicated social media digital age where we're all distracted and stressed out and we've got so much coming at us all the time. Tina, you talk about being a happy person. That's a nod to the way I grew up, but the aspirational part is I wish more kids got out and played, climbed trees, played, these days, I don't know what it's like where you guys are, but here I could drive through any neighborhood, residential neighborhood in this area at 100 miles an hour at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm never going to run over a kid because there are no kids outside playing. They're all inside now. When we were kids, we're outside all day long. But that's a nod to a simpler, not just a simpler time, but a simpler way of finding joy in your life. Just, innocent fun. And I wish, it is nostalgic, but it's really more aspirational. It's like, this is what you can make your life. Enjoy those simple pleasures. And the Jack and Diane reference, like Jack and Diane. And at the end, Small Town Nights are where I belong, living all my life like a John Cougar song is the last line and the ride out of that song. So that's what that's about.
Mm. Hurts so good, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. I see what I did there.
I know, very nice.
Yes. There's anything that we need, it's connection, especially in the world that we live in today, which is exactly the reason why we created these cards. The Song Story Game. We sit and we talk to artists all the time about the stories behind the songs, the story behind the songs that they loved when they were growing up. And so we put together a game that you can own now and put it on your coffee table. And there's a few different ways you can play it. You can play it just as a conversation starter. You can play it with couples and besties for points, or you can play it in a team setting. Three different ways you can have a lot of fun talking about music. One of my favorite ways to play it is to actually answer the question, give a little detail, and then play the song. This game could go on for hours. It's entirely up to you, but get yours today at pressplay.me.
But, well, that's the thing is, you know, John, well, and I noticed too that you've got a little bit of that raspiness too, like John has in his vocals, which, you know, I love that. I love the vibe you bring to your songs, which I might as well play the clip of the song and then we can wrap up on that. Dreaming by brand new places, my roots run deep in this dusty land. It's here I'll stay, make my final stand. 'Cause I'm a small town hard luck. See, like Jack and Diane, mm-hmm. You know, Tina, what do you, well, let me do this. 'Cause one of the things we do is song stories. We love song stories. That's the whole vibe of what we do. Now, my song story with Jack and Diane, and I'd love to know yours, Dan, is my cousin Debbie moved to Florida. I was a Jersey kid. I grew up in New Jersey, but they moved to Florida when I was 5, she was already in high school and she got a Pontiac Trans Am with the Firebird on the hood.
Oh, yeah.
The
black, I love that like car. Sure.
The Bandit. It's exactly like Smokey and the Bandit, right? And that's just when American Fool came out, that tape. Isn't that the album, American Fool?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right. So she popped the cassette in. Now imagine, I guess I was 7. And Jack and Diane comes on, and that memory now is so vivid. Every time I hear this song, I'm in her Trans Am in Inverness, Florida, the young Jersey kid driving around with the T-tops off.
Right.
And just cruising. Listen to that, like Small Town Nights where you drove around cruising. So twofold, do you remember the first time you heard Jack and Diane, what you were doing? And two, what are some of your favorite cruising songs, like when you're driving at night or?
Gosh, that's such a good question, Don. You know, I don't have a specific memory of the very first time I heard it. I just remember, I know where I heard it, which was watching the video on MTV. That's where I first was exposed to that song. And every time that song came on, I stopped what I was doing. There's something so evocative. It's a great tune, but there's something so evocative in that song. It's so heartfelt, so... relatable. It was magic to me. So I loved it. And one of my favorite melodies. Oh, yeah. It was so descriptive.
Talking on a chili dog outside a Tasty Freeze.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, all over North Carolina were Tasty Freezes. So, you know, I mean, I could relate. And one of my favorite Mellencamp albums at the time was Johnny Cougar is Scarecrow. That, you know, I love every song on that album. My favorite cruising song, you know, I'll tell you a fun cruising. So it wasn't cruising exactly, but and I have a new song coming out soon that I think you guys will really like, which I've got a bunch of new stuff coming actually. And the first line is love that green Camaro since senior year. And my best friend in high school had a Camaro, a dark green Camaro, tan leather, tan fake leather interior, a car that was way faster than his parents should let him drive, but they didn't know that, you know, and we would go all over the place in that. And one day we were driving down the street to his house and radio blasting. And of course that was back in the day, which whatever they played is what you listened to because you didn't have a choice. And one of my, another favorite artist came on and was a James Taylor song, Up on a Roof, I believe was the song. And my buddy, my best friend in high school, who sadly just died a couple of years ago, but lived on the same street as James Taylor's mom. James Taylor grew up in Chapel Hill, my hometown. and his dad worked for the university. So did mine. And just as we were driving by, she was out in the yard raking leaves in her front lawn. And his song was on. So we just rolled down the window and just cranked it up as we passed. And she stopped. She's an older lady, stopped and just put, you know, held the rake and just waved at us. And I remember thinking, and I was probably 16, thinking she must be so proud, you know, of her son on the radio like that. So that was a neat memory I'll never forget. I could still sort of see her face.
My God, how about I'm going to Carolina? Gives you goosebumps when you hear Carolina on the phone.
Yeah, it sure does. So that's one of my favorite stories.
It's in his mind. In his mind, he's going to Carolina.
In my mind, I'm going to Carolina. And, you know, and I guess what's that? What's he saying there? It's wherever he is in the world, whatever pressure he's under, stress he's under, he just takes himself back home. And it's
that sounds like you in San Francisco. You probably have that whole, in my mind, I'm going to Carolina.
Yeah, I do actually. Sure. You know, I think those touchstones are important. Say it again, Tina. Sorry.
Always fun to revisit your youth.
Well, it is, isn't it? And sometimes it's not. And I think of it as not always just, again, being nostalgic, but it's a touchstone to move forward. It reminds you of things that have made you happy in your life. It reminds you of a place and time. Sometimes it's a place and time that maybe you weren't happy, but it can be a reset to go forward. You know,
the grounding of
story. A grounding. That's a better word, actually. Thank you. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've done so many things. Yes, Tina, I'm sorry. Please. No. Go ahead.
So my questions are, when I listen to you sing, I hear a little bit of Cougar. I hear a little bit of Petty, maybe a little bit of Jason Isbell. Who are the artists that have really had an influence on your sound and who are the ones that you love?
Gosh, that's what a great question. You know, it's a little scary sometimes because I think you kind of gravitate to the things that you kind of tend to do pretty well or okay. But I have so many different artists that I love. I've sort of been an amalgam of a lot of people, but certainly Mellencamp. Certainly Tom Petty. I love Tom Petty and his music. I love, you know, I lean a little country. Sometimes I love Keith Urban. Love Darius Rucker. Those kind of artists a lot. And then you look at the rock side because, I love the Rolling Stones, one of my favorite bands of all time. I love Pearl Jam, Foo Fighters, REM, another one of my favorite bands.
I'd have never thought of you as the grunge guy. That's interesting and fun.
Yeah, you know, I do. I like all kinds of music, but I love the songs and I love the stories behind those songs. And my lyrics tend to be, you know, as a journalist for all of these years, I tell stories, right? I relate things in terms of a story. So that's how my songwriting tends to be storytelling in my lyric. And I love good, catchy, clever lyrics that mean something to me. And so I got a bunch of people I like, but those are some of the main ones that I really like.
Who's a big musical artist or a memorable music artist you've had a chance to, you know, in your your career, interview or participate with, like a memorable experience you had with a musician artist?
You know, that's a great question. I've had fortunate to have several opportunities. I've been able to open for a lot of great acts. Right. So I've got to know them a little bit that way. I'm still in touch with Kevin Cronin of REO Speedwagon, so he's been very kind to me, and I like him a lot. We've had some very nice conversations. Eddie Money was a good friend. I played golf with Eddie Money and have some funny Eddie Money stories. Chuck LaVelle of the Rolling Stones. Oh, I know, right? Eddie Money had a great voice. Just what a cool vibe about him. Chuck LaVelle of the Rolling Stones is a good friend. So I've had some fun stories. I opened a couple of years ago for Night Ranger, and I took my band to Reno to open for Night Ranger. And Brad Gillis, the guitarist for Night Ranger, he's a really good friend. We socialize, we see each other for lunch. He's been to my house. But he didn't know I was opening for him. I got hired to open for him, and I didn't tell him because I wanted a surprise. So he calls me the day of the show. I guess we were at the sound check in this I guess it was in an arena. It was like where they show horses, big grandstand area. And he called and he goes, dude, I just heard you're here. And I said, I know, I'm opening for you today. I wanted to surprise you. So he came and quietly stood and watched some of our set before his show. But
could you imagine? I still, one day, if I ever got to talk to Brad, the moment that you have to step in where Randy was, I mean, I couldn't imagine that moment. Like, because they had to do the Speak of the Devil
right
deal. And I couldn't imagine to come in and emulate what Randy was doing too.
And know you're going to be judged by fans, you know, and the band. It's well, like Arnel Pineda coming in for Steve Perry.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean,
which I've had pressure. A chance to talk to Arnel. That, yeah. But when you go see Night Ranger, Brad always does Crazy Train and it's awesome. He does a phenomenal job.
He does a phenomenal. He's such a great player. He's played with my band a number of times. He'll show up and he'll jump on stage anytime. And he's just an incredible guitarist. And he's a really nice guy.
Well, we got to get to see Dan live here. And we're looking forward to your new song. Tina, do you have anything before we exit out?
I just have one more song story question. So sure, we play go ahead. Great game sure. here. And I want to go back to your youth because I'm a little bit interested, not a little bit, I'm a lot interested in who you were in North Carolina before you moved to San Francisco. So I just want to ask a couple questions there.
Sure.
First of all, real quick, what was the first concert you ever attended as a teen or a kid? Do you remember?
I attended one of the first, I went to a Rolling Stones concert and a James Taylor concert. And then actually a bunch of concerts were classical concerts. Some of my first concerts that when I was really young that my mother took me to, Eugene Fodor, Itzhak Perlman, you know, people like that. Jean-Pierre Rampal, the flautist. So I was exposed to a lot of music when I was young. And I really attended more rock shows once I got older.
Yeah. So do you remember the first piece of music you purchased with your own money?
Oh, you know, I think, Tina, I'm pretty sure it was almost positive. It was The Who, another one of my favorite bands. Was it Who's Next? The one with Don't Get Fooled Again on it. I can't remember the album, but I believe it was Who's Next. That was probably the first album I bought. And then probably among the first albums was a Rush album. I love Rush. That was one of my first, but I think my first, was The Who.
Yeah. Well, O'Reilly, Bargain, Love Ain't For Keeping, My Wife, The Song Is Over, Getting In Tune, Going Mobile, Behind Blue Eyes, Won't Get Fooled Again is on The Who's Next.
Yeah, that's the one. Peter, Paul, and Mary. That was one of my very early albums. I had the Peter, Paul, and Mary album that everybody had. Yeah, so my taste is all over the map.
Did they do, I'd Rather Be a Hammer Than a Nail? I'd Rather Be a Hammer Than a Nail.
I think so.
Yes, or is that Simon and Garfunkel? That might be Simon and Garfunkel, actually.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
They puffed the Magic Dragon, right?
They did puff the Magic Dragon, for sure. Yeah. So many
bridges. Yeah.
So I had everything you could possibly. I had all kinds of stuff. That, like,
that's we sang that as children's.
Yes, I wonder what they're singing about.
I don't know.
Well, you know, they claim because I was they claim now it was not about what we later would think it was about.
Sure.
I'm not sure. Neither was
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Sure, it was an artwork from Julian. Sure,
it was about we'll a dragon named Puff. Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? That's awesome.
Learning that in school.
Yeah, I know. Your friends heard, you know what they're singing about. I'm like, what? I thought it was about a little cute little dragon named Puff.
Well, I was like, Afternoon Delight. I was singing that song like crazy as a 7-6-7-year-old.
I had no idea what we're talking about. Yeah.
No, I mean, rubbing sticks and all together make the sparks sing. Oh, that's cute. You know, it's the airplane noise that got me.
Mama's got a sleep box that he never sleeps at night.
Right. So there's so many. Yeah, that's rock and roll. But that's what makes it clever is, you know, kids don't know what they're talking about, but you know, adults.
I know. No. Tonight's the night. It's gonna be. I sang that all the time as a kid. Like, what am I singing? All right. Well, again, Dan, thank you for being here. As I said, I'll wrap up here, but just sit tight. We're going to have some things with you. But for all of you out there, go support Dan Ashley's music. And if you're in the
Where can they find your music?
Yeah. Thanks very much for asking. DanAshleyMusic.com. And there's a whole bunch of new stuff, material coming, a bunch. And I think people were going to
Yeah, we'll have it on the interview link, too, when we post it.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. You guys are both so lovely to have me on. It means the world. I appreciate it. And how much fun to chat with you. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. So, again, everyone, we'll be back with another episode. But thanks again for watching.